Hello, this is Denise Yon, and welcome to the Brand is Business Bites podcast. The Brand is Business Bites podcast gives you a taste of insights and information about brands, businesses, and the people who work on them. It's available on iTunes. For more stuff for your brain to chew on, please visit my website at deniseleeyon.com.
Hello, everybody. It is my pleasure to introduce to you Scott Goodson. Scott is the founder and chairman of Strawberry Frog, a global cultural movement agency, and we'll get to what that means in just a moment. But I wanted to let you know that during Scott's 20-year career, he has led cultural movements for iconic brands such as Heineken, PepsiCo, P&G, Morgan Stanley, Daimler-Benz. And Strawberry Frog is the agency behind the groundbreaking True North campaign that Frito-Lay launched last year, which features stories about women who, having found their True North, are doing extraordinary things in their communities. And it was something that I was very excited about when I saw it. And I've known Scott for many years, but wanted to have a chance to share him with you here. So, Scott, welcome.
Thank you very much, Denise. It's amazing to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Great. Well, I want to jump right into it and get to this thing about cultural movements. So you and your firm talk about creating cultural movements. And so for those of us who aren't as familiar with that, let us know, what are cultural movements and how do you create them?
Well, I think when we started Strawberry Frog about 10 years ago, we felt right from early on that it was no longer, it was like the post-product world. And we started, I started Strawberry Frog in Amsterdam. And in Europe, it just really felt that, you know, brands were ideologies. Brands that we respected, brands that we had worked on in Europe, really were ideologies and were, they just felt like they were movements and not just advertising campaigns. And so when we started Strawberry Frog, we dedicated the agency to developing cultural movements for our clients. And we thought that was an idea which was a way of understanding all the complex media channels that clients had at their disposal. And it also aligned, you know, the world with their brand. And you have to remember that in Europe, a lot the main media channels weren't television. They were the internet, and they were, you know, unconventional media, guerrilla marketing, all those sort of things. And so that was really where the sort of the roots of you know, brands should be movements and not advertising campaigns really came about. And so what is a cultural movement, you know, and how do you spark or ignite or, you know, create a cultural movement? I think it comes from the belief or the understanding that a brand can identify a movement, a brand can lead a movement, it can curate and crystallize a movement, and it can even speed up a movement's rise towards dominance. And, you know, when we talk about movements at Strawberry Frog, we talk about a cultural movement, and it's a word that we coined at Strawberry Frog. I coined this word a few years ago to describe really a new model of marketing that should be used to you know, master all the different media channels that are out there in this fragmented media world.
Right. Now, have you... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Right.
I was just going to say, how have you seen, like, cultural movements evolve since you started talking about, thinking about, and working on them?
Well, it's funny. I think the world's kind of aligning to the idea because I think... if you think about all the different media tools that are at your disposal, social media, I think the idea of having an ad campaign it seems almost really old-fashioned overnight. I think it's really about, you know, these tools that are at your disposal really are all about sustaining movements and keeping people not only involved in your brand, but using their relationships with their friends to bring more and more people on into the movement. And so I think all the things that are happening are really just making it easier for brands to spark movements and create
create cultural movements.
It's about brands becoming more relevant, but it's also about using all these new tools that are at your disposal. And I think if you do that, then I think you can see the power that a brand can have when it has a movement. And if you think about the use of community, of creating, building community, inspiring actions, creating tools, giving opportunities to help people belong to this movement, there's just more and more of those tools that are at your disposal now when you're creating brands. And you can align with these movements that are already existing and give people reasons to participate and be a part of your movement. So I think, the use of today's technology, together with people's insatiable lust for, being part of, something, connectivity, can really ignite movements in ways that, weren't able to be done 10, 20 years ago.
Right, right.
In those days, we just had traditional advertising, but today it's the real thing.
Right, right. And actually, you used an interesting word that I wanted to pick up on. You said, aligning yourself with a movement. And, one of the things that I think is on a lot of people's minds in the, social web world is this idea of, or this concern over a loss of control. I think that when there was much more of just a one-way communication, I think brand managers felt like they were in much more of control of, what the brand stood for and how the brand expressed itself and what the brand participated in. And I think, there's a concern now that, that control is no longer there. And it's interesting, I think, I guess I would be interested in your point of view relative to, the way that you talked about it, which is really, align your brand with a movement that is already going on out there or somehow shaping it. Can you just talk a little bit about, this concern about, the loss of control that brand managers may have over their brands relative to cultural movements?
I think that the consumer has control of the brand. That's obviously the case. And you can either avoid that, stick your head in the sand, and just think that doesn't exist, but that does exist. And if you acknowledge it, then you can affect the way people think about their relationship with that brand. It's like basic human relationships. You can either participate in a constructive way. There will always be people out there who are dissenters. There will always be stalkers. There will always be people, but you have to get used to this new world where all this content is out there. People do make comments. It's out there whether you want to be there or not. And I think, you can help architect decision-making communities so that people are participating in your brand in a way that is more favorable or more creating a more of an impact for you than if you totally avoided that and let others, lead that conversation and not have a voice in it. So I think you can certainly, there's a great book actually out there that just came out, which I recommend everyone read, called Nudge, which I think is a great example of how you can use, a architecture in communications to help social media and fans and those out there who have a point of view on your brand, how you can help them to see sides of your brand which can help you influence decision making.
Right, right. Okay. And, I'm curious if you can talk about a brand that you have worked on. I know I had mentioned the True North example earlier. I don't know if there's that example or something, another one that you could talk about just to help us better understand, how a brand does this cultural movement idea.
The first client, Strawberry Frog's first client that we worked with was Smart Car, which launched in the late 90s. And that was a brand that was not about, wasn't a B-segment small vehicle. It was a crazy idea by the founder of Swatch, who wanted to reinvent urban environments. And so that his mission was, reduced to the max. It was an ideology. at Strawberry Frog, we worked with IKEA for many years, and IKEA was, you know, not for the rich, but for the wise. You know, these were movements that, you know, in the true sense of the word, emanated out of an idea in culture, and that idea was then connected back to the brand, and you felt like you were part of something much bigger. Building on those cases, I mean, we did the global brand work for Heineken, and included in that was a movement created around their global sponsorship of Champions League football, which is soccer. And it was all a movement around championism. And that was really the first mass market global movement we created. It was a 150-country movement around soccer. And unfortunately, in the U.S., it's not the biggest sport, so it wasn't as visible as it was in across Europe and Asia and other parts of Latin America. But it was a real movement where people participated in social media. There was obviously digital as well as television advertising and promotional events in and around soccer games. But that was a really great example. And then here in the United States, a couple of examples that are worth mentioning. The first one, I think one of the first, the most recent ones we worked on was the True North example, where we went out in American culture and we found that midlifers, women, were looking for their one true passion in life. And we built a movement for True North around that passion, which we saw in some anthropological research we did. And it was amazing to see the brand rise with that that energy around mm-hmm. that idea.
Mm-hmm.
And people's participation, if you go to TrueNorthSnacks.com, you can actually see the community online. It's amazing, very visually, how that community comes together. And we're doing it also with Stacy's pita chips.
Oh, wow.
We work with.
How fun.
And then another example, we worked on one of the first clients in the U.S. we did was for Pfizer. We created a movement called the Boomer Coalition, which was all about fighting CVD, cardiovascular disease. And we had created everything from social media to we had rock concerts around the country and events, and we had jeans auctions and just lots of really interesting ways that people could participate in this movement to fight heart disease. I think that case is also on our website. And then there's some other ones. I mean, one of the first clients that I worked on back in Amsterdam was the relaunch of Onitsuka Tiger sneakers, which was a brand that was very popular in the 1960s and then disappeared, and ASICS came about, and we engineered, Strawberry Frog engineered the relaunch of Onitsuka Tiger. I led that work in Amsterdam, Strawberry Frog Amsterdam, and that was a real movement. I mean, it targeted opinion formers on a global basis, and really brought to life, you know, the love of contemporary, legendary, and contemporary Japanese culture, interpreted by, you know, European and American cultural leaders, and it just brought them together at a time when people were just incredibly, you know, curious, intelligently curious about Japanese culture. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the key thing about a movement, is a movement relies on finding ideas on the rise in culture and then crystallizing those ideas and building around them. And you can, as you build a movement, you can either build it yourself. It takes more time and more expertise and having a really good strategy. You know, we work on a lot of culture movement strategies. It also can grow with the alignment to movements that are existing out there. So if you're also able to, through research, undercover movements that are happening, and you can build a strategy where you align the brand movement with that, you can see a rise as well.
Right, right. Well, that's really helpful, because I think that really shows that the range of cultural movements that are out there and how different brands and many different categories really intersect with those movements. So I appreciate you kind of taking us through that tour. Well, our time is about up, and so, Scott, I just wanted to give you a chance to talk about Strawberry Frog and your Facebook page, which is a relatively new development, and maybe you could tell me and my listeners a little bit about what you're trying to do with that page, and then you just sent me the link to the page, which is facebook.com/strawberryfrog, all one word. So people can go to that. But tell me a little bit about what you're trying to do with that.
We're trying to, basically build our global movement. We have an office in Amsterdam, in Sao Paulo, Brazil, and in New York. We also have some friends and clients in India. And, you know, the world is increasingly global. And we think these are really interesting discussions that we're having around brand building and, you know, how do you, no one really knows where it's all going. And I think it's a fascinating discussion to have. How do you build brands in 2010 with people from around the world who are interested in this space, both veterans and young, impassioned, iconoclasts. And so the site is intended to sort of bring together different points of view, and it's a lot of fun.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your time, Scott. It's always great connecting with you, and I'm glad I had an opportunity to share with my listeners about Strawberry Frog and cultural movements, and I think it'll be a really interesting topic for a lot of folks. So thanks again for your time. I really appreciate it.
Well, you're, doing an amazing job keeping this intellectual curiosity, there front and center. I mean, it's a difficult thing, and I think the way that you're bringing to life this debate around brand building and pulling together some very interesting people is really valuable, and I wish you all the best, and we're going to continue to listen, and we're going to stream it on our Facebook page.
Perfect. I can't wait. Well, thanks again, Scott, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the Brand as Business Bites podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so your brain will always be filled with good stuff to chew on. For more information or to contact me directly, please visit my website at deniseleeyan.com. Take care and thanks again.